it hasn't been a big dick energy year, because that sounds like it's been a flaccid dick energy year.
A flaccid, angry flaccid.
Yes. Flaccid with anger.
Yeah.
Just hanging there and so mad about it.
Yeah.
You know, literally not able to rise to any occasion. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
This year has been, I think I can categorically say, a hell of a year.
Oh, God. It has been... I was thinking about this when we were preparing the show, that there really is no words to really describe it. I mean, it's been extremely long.
You say that, but I found a word. And, you know, usually I do a man of the year.
Yes.
But this year, the word of the year is synonymous with the man of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And my 2018 man of the year is toxicity.
Toxicity,
and
yes.
And the word of the year, according to Oxford Dictionaries, is toxic. It's the word of the year. So, and its original use, they say, refers to a poisonous substance. Toxic has been ever present in discussions of health in our communities and our environment, but lately has truly taken off into the realm of metaphor, as people have been using it to describe workplaces, schools, culture, relationships, stress, masculinity, etc.
Yeah.
And they said that the Me Too movement has put a spotlight on toxic masculinity, and the word has been applied to rhetoric, policies, agendas, and legacies of leaders and governments around the world. They explain that it is a word or expression that is judged to reflect the ethos, mood, or preoccupation of 2018.
You're
toxic. And it has lasting potential as a term of cultural significance.
Oh.
It's one of the most talked about topics. So if you Google toxic, tons of things will come up after it.
Oh, my gosh.
Google and Bing in the search engine. So it really, it really is the word of the year. And toxicity is man of the year.
You nailed it. Oh, my God.
Oxford. So other things that came up, they say that there is a 45% rise in the number of times people looked up toxic this year on OxfordDictionaries.com, and they were looking for it in the literal and metaphorical application. Top 10 searches for collations were chemical, masculinity, substance, gas, environment, relationship, culture. One got cut off. Number 8's a mystery. algae.
Toxic
and air.
Algae.
Yeah, toxic algae was not something that really featured prominently in my 2018.
No, but...
But apparently is here. It beat out the following things. Big dick energy, which I don't care. I love that term.
What is big dick?
Big dick energy is just Ariana Grande, who's a pop star who I am only aware of in terms of the fact that she said big dick energy, or BDE, as they call it. She used a phrase... She tweeted it talking about her fiance, now comedian.
Yeah.
But she was dating a guy, and she was just offhandedly tweeted something out about it. Apparently he has a big dick, or they were joking around or whatever. Then she deleted it, but not in time.
Okay.
So big dick energy got out there. I thought Elon Musk should call one of his, instead of Big Falcon.
Big Falcon.
Big Falcon Rocky called Big DE1.
Okay.
Some other terms that became popular this year were gaslighting, which comes from a 1938 play called Gaslight by Patrick Hamilton, in which a man manipulates his wife to believe she's going insane.
Right.
Gammon. This is a word, it used to mean, or it originally means, to describe a fleshy pink meat served in pubs with a pineapple, fried egg, or both. But in the UK, they're using it to describe an older middle-class white man whose face becomes flushed while expressing his political opinions. I think we would say that, like, doughy.
Yeah.
Gammon. Incel. Yeah. Was another where they came up. These men who are saying that they're involuntary celibate because nobody will sleep with them because they're horrible.
Yes. Well, one thing about incel, yes, these men believe they are entitled to have sex with any woman if they want to, whenever they want to.
And no one will sleep with them.
And so they believe they have the right to take
that. And they apparently are hostile towards both to men and women. Mm-hmm. So they hate guys who are getting laid.
Yes, they hate the Chads of the world, as they say.
The Chads.
Yes, the guys who are good looking, who apparently have no problem sleeping with women. They hate them too. And that's that one guy who shot a bunch of people because he made that video. Yeah, and he killed himself too.
But he is now like a martyr and a poster boy for the incels. So how about going out and asking those Chads what they're doing?
Yeah.
I'm one of those people, if you can't beat them, join them.
They feel like they weren't blessed with the bone structure or the good looks of the
Chads. Yeah, because only good-looking men get laid.
Right. But what's interesting is the term incel was originally developed by women who were intelligent and maybe not as, like, big social butterflies, but wanted companionship. But it's like,
so they were saying they were involuntarily celibate, but not in an aggressive
way. Not in an aggressive way. They were just like, we just can't find the right guys.
So these dudes couldn't even come up with their own word?
Yeah, they had to take it and then
Your word is in here, orbiting.
Orbiting, yay.
Yeah, so the dating buzzword, where a suitor stops communicating with you, but then continues to engage with you on social media. Also, over-tourism, well, too much tourism. Mm-hmm. And then another one I thought was interesting was tech-lash, which is a portmanteau. So taking two words to make a new word. And it's, backlash against tech bros.
Okay.
Which I don't see as a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
So, yeah, but the year of the word and the man of the year, toxic and toxicity.
Wow, that nails it.
It worked out pretty well.
It really was, like, personally and just around, like, for everybody around, like, publicly and globally, it's been a bad
year. Yeah, I would say it hasn't been a big dick energy year, because that sounds like it's been a flaccid dick energy year.
A flaccid, angry flaccid.
Yes, flaccid with anger.
Yeah.
Just hanging there and so mad about it.
Yeah.
Literally not able to rise to any occasion. So what do you have?
I got the four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, or repair. 209 West 40th Street. Hashtag Bump Life NYC.
We have to, of course, address all the toxic things that happened this year, because it was what it was all about. But there is also a few good things that happened.
Really?
And
I must have missed those.
I'm going to be sprinkling those in.
Okay, please do. Liberally sprinkle.
The first one is, this is like a science thing, science advancement, if you want to call it that. Doctors grew a new ear on a soldier's arm.
Are you kidding me? Didn't they grow an ear on a pig a couple of years ago? Is the ear just something really easy to do? You know what I mean? It's like the pasta of the science world.
There was a private, Shamika Burge, lost her ear in a near-fatal car accident. Army surgeons stepped up to make her a new one. Instead of creating a prosthetic, they grew it from her own cartilage under the skin on her right forearm, and it was successfully attached.
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah.
They grew it on the skin of her forearm, the ear.
Yeah.
Then they cut that off and stuck it on her head. Is it still on there?
You know what? That's how the article is written.
Okay.
I suspect.
There's a lot more to it.
I suspect they took the skin and they put it somewhere. And then
They did some kind of
and grafted. But I just really was preoccupied with the thought of this ear growing on this woman's arm.
Me too.
And her going, it's getting there.
Yes. And having to, she had to put like an ear muff on it when it's cold.
Yeah.
Does she have to clean it? Is a Q-tip involved? Like, what happened? Is it pierced?
I know, but
that's
imagine.
That's bizarre.
Like, speaking to my elbow.
Yeah. I like it. All right. Good for her.
All right. That's one thing.
So I have these, right?
Well, I have so many. Let me do two more.
All right.
Because they're short.
We'll keep them. And I'll hit you with some angry stuff.
Okay. They finally apprehended the Golden State Killer after 32 years.
Wow.
Yes. The Golden State Killer committed his last known murder in California. And they finally made the DNA match on April 25th. And they arrested him, and they found the DNA to match a bunch of other
what took them so
murders.
Long?
Yeah, they filed.
I always hear about these things, especially when they have like assault kits and things like that. They just sit around
Oh, yeah.
Forever and ever. Someone just had to do, like, a GoFundMe mm-hmm. or something for a police department to look through all the assault kits, and they actually ended up finding, like, a few dozen serial, like, rapists.
Wow.
From them. I'm like, you guys let this stuff sit on the shelf?
They do it. They just let this stuff yeah. sit on the shelf.
It could be more important, because these people are not, it's not like it's a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. They found people who are serial attackers mm-hmm. out there that they could have stopped years ago mm-hmm. if they had just looked at this.
Because they don't want to.
They don't care.
They don't want to. They don't care. And it's also, this is a part of a theory I'm developing, is like that these aggressive killers, the ones who are violent against women, they are kind of like the bad police of the world that keep women in their place.
Yeah, yeah.
And so maybe the guys that don't do these things, it's
don't
kind of
care
like
that much.
Well, because all the bad ones are really keeping women in line, so they don't have
and
to
also,
try
too,
hard
And also, too, those victims were probably, you know, not doing what they were supposed to be doing or not wearing what they were supposed to be. Yeah.
That's part of the narrative to keep women from believing it's their fault.
It's definitely not a priority, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Anyway.
So I have a thing here. The world did not come to an end again this year, despite predictions. I remember back in April, Planet X, Nibiru, was going to collide with Earth, just like in the Lars von Trier movie, Melancholia. But NASA had to come out again and say, it's a hoax. I mean, they keep having to come out. Like, they don't have better things to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? So they had to come out and say, it's a hoax. This theory was around in 2012. They're like, we told you in 2012 it was a hoax. Why are we back here 6 years later? Talking about this again. They did say, NASA has noted that Caltech researchers did find evidence that there could be a planet beyond Neptune, since Pluto is no longer a planet. However, the existence of the maybe planet.
The maybe planet.
they nicknamed Planet X, is entirely theoretical. Mm-hmm. They're not even sure. They're like, yeah, I guess something could be there.
Wow.
But we're not sure. And even if it is, it's not colliding with Earth anytime soon. So this theory came up in 2012, it came up in September of 2017, and then in April of 2018. So they said there's no such thing as a planet called Nibiru. Someone just made it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a brown dwarf surrounded by planets. It's not on a collision course towards Earth. People should just get over it, is what NASA said. Mm-hmm. So you can see NASA's at the end of its rope when it has to resort to that kind of language.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get over it.
Get
Move
over
on.
It.
Move on. The latest doomsday prediction came from a Christian conspiracy theorist named David Mead. That he was, you know, he said that Planet X or Nibiru would have appeared on April 23rd, triggering the start of the rapture that we've all been waiting for.
Wow.
But it didn't happen. I think the next, I was looking for doomsday predictions. I think the next one is in 2020, because it's a nice round number.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to be the rapture again, but they're going to have to come up with some new things, because in the past, since we started this podcast, the world has supposedly ended multiple times.
Yeah.
And yet we are still here podcasting. So I don't know how.
Unless everybody else has been raptured up. I think that, remember when all those celebrities, the really good ones, passed away?
Yeah.
Maybe that was like kind of
they
the rapture.
They dipped out the back, as I like to say. Carrie Fisher and all that, yeah. That's it. The rapture's like 40 people.
Yeah.
In entertainment.
Yeah.
That's it. All right, what do you have?
I have this more good news. A Colorado man survives both a shark and bear attack. Not at the same time.
Oh, too bad.
That would have been awesome.
That's like an asylum film right there.
Yeah.
Less,
less than a year after being attacked by a bear during a camping trip, a Colorado native was bitten by a shark while boogie boarding in Hawaii.
This guy's unbreakable.
Yeah, he said, despite multiple brushes with death, he refuses to give up a life as an outdoorsman.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not going to let those things change what I want to do.
I'm not going to let being eaten by a wild animal change anything. A bear and a shark. You know what? Maybe at this point they know. Like, it's a mountain lion. He's like, I heard about this guy. I'm going for him.
Yeah.
Shark couldn't do it. Bear couldn't do it. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. 2019. He's probably going to trip and fall. He's one of these people.
I know, right?
Right? Choked on something.
Right. Something like that.
So speaking of sharks, I have the 2018 shark attack roundup.
Okay.
It's broken down into two categories. Of course, fatal and non-fatal. So just a little nibble, and then those who just didn't make it at all. Non-fatal attacks include attacks on vessels and bites where no physical injury was received. Fatal category includes they were killed in the moment or they died later from injuries. So as of the end of November, there have been 98 shark attack bites this year, 72 with injury, and then 22 of them they consider were provoked.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what that means. I don't know if they taunted, had a word, or what the situation was.
They're going down,
was.
Getting into the territory they're not supposed to be in.
Yeah, messing with the sharks. Mm-hmm. 5 were fatal. 33 were reported in the U.S., including 1 fatal. There were 13 shark attacks in Florida and 3 in Hawaii. 26 in Australia and 1 fatal. And 8 unconfirmed bites.
I'm not...
so it's not... I don't know what bit me, but something did. I can't say it's a shark, but it was something. Or is it like someone's like, I was bitten by a shark. I was like, bullshit.
Yeah.
Next.
I don't have it. If there's no picture, it didn't happen.
Yeah. Do you have any shark tooth stuck in your leg or like, you know, any corroborating evidence?
Did anyone see this happen?
Yeah. Oh, really?
I don't believe you.
Yeah. It could have been anything. It could have been you.
Yeah. That's like what women go through when they go to the police. Like, hey, I was attacked. Really?
No, really. Yeah. The one time I got punched in the face on the subway, I always tell this story. I went to the cops. The first thing they said, are you sure you were punched in the face? I had on the side of my face the imprint of a fist. Are you sure?
Are you sure that happened to
you? Are you sure? I'm like, really? Oh, you know what? Maybe I had a latte instead. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm confused because I have ovaries.
Yeah.
I think I had one at that point still.
It's stuff that comes out of my mouth. I can't.
I know. Yeah. I'm probably going to have my period in the next 28 days. So who knows what I might say?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know anything.
No.
Yeah. Here's some good news. A high school senior was offered more than $7 million in scholarships.
Doesn't that seem like overkill?
Yeah, well, her name, Shariah Williams, Memphis, Tennessee high school senior, made headlines when she was accepted into a staggering 149 colleges.
Why did she apply to so many colleges?
I know. That's. Aren't you supposed to apply to 5?
to 5. Was she just like casting a wide net?
Yeah, and they offered her a combined $7.6 million in scholarship money. I don't know how you can even do that nowadays. Can you really?
You know what? I really hope, and you know, I have such a morbid sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
I hope things work out for her. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes when you're young and you get like something amazing, you want to check. You know, like in your town, you want to go back and see those people who were doing like amazing. She was destined for Broadway.
Yeah.
You come back, she's working the Shakers.
Yeah. Acres.
You know. I'm just hoping everything turns out well for her. I'm sure, if that were me, my head would be gigantic.
Yeah, be like that.
I'd probably find a way to self-sabotage.
I know, that's like, you get there. She's like, I already did it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
I just won.
I didn't go. But I was offered a position.
Mm.
So are you doing good news still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, you know it is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
Is science news. Is a scientist implants human brain cells into mice.
Again. I feel like mice are intelligent enough. You know?
Or don't dumb them down.
Yeah!
Cells are
now eating. They're going to have beef.
No, the neuroscience is happening. The future of neuroscience is happening as we speak, thanks to the researchers who managed to implant human brain cells into mice this year. And over time, it may teach us more about the workings of the human brain.
It teaches us that we shouldn't fuck with mice when the rats and NIMH start happening. Do they not see the rats and NIMH?
Well, it may help doctors repair damaged brain tissue in the future.
Those rats were evil. They turned on each other, and then they had a plan for us.
Yeah, well, this is a risk I'm willing to take.
Maybe they could implant mice with, like, puppy DNA.
Well, brains,
like puppy brains.
Brains are really hard to research because one has to be dead in order to get into the brain.
But are we sure we're creating our actual brains again, and we're not just creating some kind of weird, mouse-human
Isn't there the pinky in the brain or something?
I don't. I think everything is always going to go wrong.
Yeah.
We don't understand the brain.
We don't.
You know? What if we activate a part of the brain that's self-destructive? We know we have that. We know we all have a part of our brain that's like, get rid of yourself.
Yeah.
You're the word. But first, get rid of him.
Take everybody down.
Yeah, take everybody out.
Well, that's nature.
What if that gets into a mouse? They start nibbling the fuck out of everything.
Yeah.
Like important stuff, like nuclear power plants. We're just going to nibble on it until it's gone.
Just nibble it on it all.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Anything that looks like it might even remotely be a threat to mice, we'll just nibble on it.
Oh, my God.
Well, we do. There's more of them than us. I'm just saying. So, speaking of big, this is a little 2018 penis news. So we reported back on the guy who got the bionic dick back in the day. Penis news, member on the move, dick stories, or scrotum stories, dick updates. Just letting you know what's going on. So there was a guy, he had been transplanted for 70,000 pounds. He got a bionic penis. He was born with his bladder on the outside of the body, one testicle with no penis. So he was born with a rare condition. They don't say what it is. He had his bladder was on the outside.
Oh.
And he only had one testicle and no penis.
Okay.
However, after 5 years of surgery, the doctors created a penis, and now he's looking into having a family, which I'm like, dude, you're pressing your luck already. Whatever. He's married. The procedure is called phalloplasty. So after he got the bionic penis on, he was stuck in the house for 3 weeks with a gigantic erection.
Oh.
That would not go down.
Wow.
That awful. So he revealed that he has skin, nerve, and muscle grafts from his back and arm, and he had to wear a brace for a long time, but he was able to have sex with his wife. They said he only lasted about 30 minutes. He was really nervous, and the wife was nervous, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because she didn't want anything to go wrong.
Yeah, no kidding.
Everyone wants it to be a good thing. But they'd known each other for a very long time. Mm-hmm. They had a very secure, obviously, any woman willing to marry a gentleman with that kind of issue, who has to go through that kind of pain and suffering, all that stuff, they obviously have a bond.
Yes,
right?
Because
they were together throughout the entire procedure. So yeah, just a little update on how the dick is working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is able to have normal sex. So we'll see in 2019 what comes out of it.
Nice choice of words.
Yeah. So that's my penis roundup.
Wow.
For 2018. I have some good news, too. I just wanted to throw this in. So 2018 was the pro surfing year of the woman. Apparently, we had an incredible amount of women breaking rules on the waves and, you know, just really dominating at the JAWS Challenge, which is a World Surf League event, where they were dominating on 50-foot waves. I can't imagine that.
Wow.
50-foot waves.
That's five stories, basically. Mm-hmm. A story is 10 feet.
Yeah, and there was one woman who, she's 30 years old, and she has won 29 tour events already.
Wow.
So she's like the reigning champion. So it was on the waves, it was the year of the woman. It's a sport you don't hear about that much. I like surfing. I think it's cool. I've done it a couple times. And I've been noticing when I've been going on vacation, seeing a lot more girls and women surfing. It's definitely women who are in their 40s doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that if you're really good with yoga, you can surf.
Right.
If you can swim and you have the upper body strength and the poise and the balance, you can do surfing.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, it was not something that girls
were supposed to be doing.
Yeah, so they're doing it all.
Skateboarding. There are workshops. You can go to Costa Rica and go to a yoga surf retreat and learn, practice both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. All right, so year of the surfing woman.
Yeah.
2018.
Barbara Streisand cloned her dead dog. Did you know this? So, okay, for science.
It was
and
dead?
Yes, her dog died.
Okay.
And
she still had a piece of it or something?
Yeah, she had two. She had the pet.
That's what I'm... Like, she cloned it on its way out, or it was dead, and she was like, quick, swab it.
Yeah, I guess so. She missed her dog, Samantha, so much, she had two new dogs created using her cells.
And how are they?
So, I had no reports on that, but it's like...
I wonder if they have beef with each other.
But it's like, come on, Barbara.
I know.
Really, honestly, better things to do with your money, but also for, like, science, maybe it's, I don't know.
I don't understand. What is it? Is it the same dog? What does it mean to clone something in that sense? Like,
to use the cells and make a replica of it.
But is the personality the same, or is it just
this
simply
is always
looks the
question
same?
With cloning.
Does it question itself?
Does it have the same quirks?
Can the dog reproduce? I mean, could you imagine if you cloned, did you look at, like, someone cloned you?
Mm-hmm.
Now there's two of you. Now what? If I saw me coming down the street, it's on. It's on. I know me. I would fly at me in a second. There would be none of me left.
You'd be taking yourself down.
There'd be no, we would take each other down. There'd be nothing left. It would be the last time ever. So I found this thing here. Worst movie of the year. So you hit upon this earlier, and when we were going over films that were coming out. And the worst film of the year so far, and it's December now, mm-hmm. so I don't think anything is going to eclipse it, is Happy Time Murders.
Happy Time Murders.
Starring one Melissa McCarthy, Maya Rudolph.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it says Happy Time Murders might be the worst film of 2018. They're saying it might be one of the worst films ever made. It was that bad. That's the one with the puppets.
Oh, the puppets. Yes, mm-hmm. yes. That was, yeah, I saw the trailer for that and I was...
Yeah.
You were turned off by it.
And I like Melissa McCarthy, and you do too.
Yeah, I do too.
So apparently Happy Time Murders has taken over the slot previously held by The Room, which is for sure one mm-hmm. of the worst movies mm-hmm. ever made. And a film critic said, calling this film is a disgrace to all other films made, including The Room. So they're saying it shouldn't even be called a film. Other critics say that it is joyless, witless. It says the movie fails one big test. Apparently, it's not funny. It's supposed mm-hmm. to be a comedy. It's periodically provides moments that push the envelope so hard that they at least earn a gasp, including a porn shot that involving a lactating cow and an octopus. I don't even know. All in all, the comedy stars Melissa McCarthy, Maya Rudolph, and Elizabeth Banks. So this should be a good movie.
It should have been a good movie.
It has
yeah.
24% Rotten Tomatoes. There's no official synopsis that they could find, but it says no Sesame All Street. Happy Time Murders is a filthy comedy set in the underbelly of Los Angeles where puppets and humans coexist. Two clashing detectives with a shared secret, one human, that's McCarthy,
mm-hmm.
one puppet. So it's a buddy cop, human puppet, are forced to work together again, so they have a backstory, mm-hmm. to solve the brutal murders of a former cast of beloved classic puppet television show. So apparently, the director who worked on this is the son of Jim Henson or something like this?
Really?
So, and Sesame Street, I think, at one point tried to sue a little bit.
Yeah.
And was like, this is not appropriate.
It is the one movie that actually everybody that had heard about it or saw it or saw the previews all agreed that it was...
Terrible.
It was terrible. It was like...
And it wasn't low budget.
No, it was like, look at all the gross things we can make puppets do. And so that was it.
They say here, Rescue Me Elmo is what you'd be shouting if you were trapped in a movie watching Happy Time Murders, wretched puppet behaving badly comedy, directed by Brian Henson, son of Muppets creator Jim Henson, a laughless bore. And apparently there's one scene, once seen, the never-ending stream of yarn semen cannot be unseen.
Yeah.
So... It says, brought to you by the letter I, incipient, incomprehensible, imbeciles.
Yeah.
I mean, not a single good review.
There's
from
nothing.
Any of this.
No, there's nothing good
a
about
a botched
this movie.
Experiment. So I think someone even here called it an abortion. I mean, they really went for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's that bad. It doesn't even look like it would be fun. Because you know I enjoy a bad film.
Mm-hmm.
But this doesn't even look like fun. It's straight bad.
Just bad.
What happened, Melissa McCarthy, Maya Rudolph, and Elizabeth Banks?
I think that, I don't know. They just. Are
they
so ready to push the envelope, like, and as they should, as comics.
Yeah, but I mean, these are people who know comedy.
Yeah.
Right? And who have done good. I'm like, I'm not a huge fan of Maya Rudolph, but I like some of the stuff that she's done.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Banks, I've seen her do really funny stuff. And I love Melissa McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at no point were they like, have people looked at this? Have people read the script? It is very, very, very bad. Very bad.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I'm going to have to watch it. So that is the contender for worst film of 2018.
Yikes.
You know.
Let's see. Here's a bit of news. I'm just letting you know.
It's good news.
A scientist trained a spider to jump on demand.
Oh, for the love of...
So you play bass keys.
Drums, guitar.
Sing lead or rap.
Horns, too.
Looking for a place to go. Saturday night, 8 p.m. to 12. Funkadelic Studios, y'all. A fully equipped rehearsal studio has got everything you need to jam. What you waiting on? 209 West 40th Street. Come one, come all, and you can bring your bandmate, lover, or friend. Yeah, come prepared to jam.
So
I hope it jumped right in their face.
At the University of Manchester, they taught a spider to jump on command. The spider named Kim demonstrated skill in 15 different jumping tasks assigned her, moving up and down and from side to side.
Why?
Now you know you can train spiders.
Okay. I mean, you could probably train anything with enough the stimulus, but should you? Should you be trying to domesticate a spider? Is what it comes down to.
No.
Could they get it to do anything else?
I don't know.
I mean, can it do the running man? I mean, you know what I mean? It has a lot of legs. Like, is there something more fun it could do besides leap at somebody? Which is something I feel like they could have already done. Whatever. So I wanted to bring up some frightening things in science, if I can find it. Yeah. This is what happened in 2018 on the International Space Station. So NASA scientists discovered four previously unknown strains of antibiotic-resistant bacteria lurking in the toilets in the International Space Station.
What? Wait a minute.
So they found four new strains of antibiotic-resistant bacteria hanging out in the Johns on the International Space Station.
I'm telling you.
So they took samples from the lavatory waste and hygiene compartment, and they also found that some on the foot platform. Of a piece of training equipment.
Oh, what?
So...
Because someone was flushing the toilet with their foot.
I don't know what was going... Yeah, someone was flushing the toilet with their foot and then went to work out.
Yeah.
It's called an Enterobacter bacteria, a genus with high resistance to antibiotics that infects hospital patients who have compromised immune systems. We revealed that genomes of the five strains were genetically most similar to three strains newly found on Earth. So they're not saying that these strains don't exist on Earth, but...
They're mutated versions.
They're saying this is the first time that they've seen this.
Okay.
So they closely resemble some bacteria that they discovered in three hospitals on Earth. I love how they say that. Three Earth hospitals.
Yeah.
And the similar bacteria showed the ability to cause disease in humans and are resistant to antibiotics. And they're saying at the moment the bacteria doesn't... pose a threat to astronauts on board the International Space Station, but said there's a 79% chance that the newfound strains of bacteria could evolve and cause disease on people on the International Space Station in the future.
Oh, and they're going to get, they're going to come back mutated.
And they don't understand how, because we don't understand, we haven't been in space long enough, or we don't spend enough time in space long enough to really understand how we change when... outside of our natural habitat. But we definitely don't know how bacteria react. And I think the scary thing with my limited knowledge of science and bacteria, their lives go very quickly. So they can mutate very quickly, whereas it will take, you know, generations for us to see a long period of time. With bacteria, it's quick.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
eventually are they going to, like, go away for the weekend or whatever from the space station, come back and be greeted by...
Something.
By something.
Yes.
That's
oh my
like,
God.
You know,
oh,
they're going to get back to the space station, there's going to be someone drinking coffee, and they're like, well, who the hell are you? Like, who the hell are you? We evolved from the foot pad. What are you... Like, we've been here the whole time. Get out.
Yeah. This is our station.
Yeah, this
now.
Is our station. This is our planet.
Gone. It's a whole new race.
Yeah, or it's the foot bacteria versus the toilet bacteria.
Yeah, oh gosh.
Now they come from the same background.
Warring tribes.
And then, and then you show up. Like there's a pause in the fighting.
Oh.
So that's what happened in 2018. Some foot toilet bacteria kicked it off. It's the origin story of the foot toilet bacteria galaxy. You know, they'll look back. the foot toilet bacteria people will look back on that day.
And then
yeah. And they'll know.
There'll be an anthem.
Yes.
And then 100 years later on, somebody's going to kneel during the anthem to talk about the inequality.
The foot bacteria is not getting its due.
Yeah, and the toilet and bacteria gets everything. Beginning.
They built everything, that foot bacteria. You know? Yep.
Oh, all right, here's something else great. This was good news. Good remember news. This in Paris? There's the recent immigrant from Mali. He was walking down the street and there was a boy dangling from a fifth floor balcony.
Yeah.
And he climbed right up there and saved that kid.
And nobody else did shit.
Yeah. And so they call him Spider-Man of the 18th and he got
can he jump on command? The Spider-Man of the 18th R&D's mont or whatever.
And he got French citizenship.
For that?
Yeah.
So bizarre. I don't understand citizenship. You do one good thing.
Hey,
I mean, that's what I'm okay with it. In my mind, if you want to be a citizen of someplace, go right ahead. Like, you should be able to do so.
Did you see the video of him climbing up that building? It was like, what?
So now is he, like, expected to do this all the time now that he's a citizen? Or can he just go get a regular job at a bodega like everybody else? You know, can he go to a patisserie and just be a regular guy?
I don't know.
He was probably like, what's the big deal? Why wasn't everybody else climbing up there?
Exactly. I think that's what we should be, a nation of climbers.
Yes. Who can jump on command.
Another great thing is that Mariah Carey opened up about her bipolar 2 diagnosis.
Okay.
Hoping that we can get to a place where stigma is lifted from people going through anything alone, which is good.
Yeah, but good luck with that. People are not very open-minded about people having issues of any kind.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't want to hear it. You know, people don't want to hear it. I know. But maybe this is going to change because it's going to, like, we can't get away from, because everybody's got something.
And also, I think it's in a way positive to see that despite her having this issue, she's been able to achieve a lot.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like getting up in front of people with the fear of, you know, are you going to have an episode? Are they going to know about it? Yeah. Or, you know, and she went ahead and did it anyway.
Right.
Must be a relief for her to, like, get it out there.
Right. Laverne Cox, also the first transgender woman to appear on the cover of Cosmo magazine.
I probably didn't know she was a transgender woman when I saw her. I just thought it was another unattainable beauty.
Yes, right? I know.
The gender piece was lost on me. I'm like, I still look like a scrub.
Let's see. And
are you peppering? Don't shoot the good news load.
I would like to also say that, you know, Donald Glover started an important conversation with This Is America.
Yeah.
That it was an amazing piece of art.
I really
that came out this
like
year.
His work. I first saw him on that show Community and I was like, this is super corny.
Mm-hmm.
But since he's left that show, the stuff that he's done has been pretty amazing. And I wish I were more into media and I would be paying attention, but I like This Is America.
Oh yeah, it was fantastic. It was brilliant. And that's something that needs to be.
That happened in 2018. Mm-hmm. So here are some scams that happened in 2018. We talked about the gentleman who was Dine and Dash.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets listed in one of the top scammers of the year. So he was inviting women out for a meal and then ordering, you know, the lobster and the champagne, as it were, and then cutting out, leaving the women with the bill. So he's still coming up on charges. But there are a lot of other scams that are happening this year. There was a woman who was doing an elaborate scam. She was impersonating major players in the entertainment industry. She's a woman. She was impersonating female executives, including the former co-chair of Sony Pictures and Lucasfilm president, and stealing thousands of dollars from victims. Apparently, she's been doing it for years, and she's still not been caught. Who knows what these people look like, though? Mm. Like, if you told me that you were the head of Sony Pictures, I'd be like, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, how would I know?
Yeah.
Another one, Anna Delvey, whose real name is Anna Sorokin. She was the subject of two high-profile features in Vanity Fair and The Cut, and her story is being made. Apparently, she's been draining wealth from friends and business associates, hundreds of thousands of dollars, while pretending to be a socialite and a German heiress.
Right. I heard about this.
These people, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, I read was reading the article. It was extremely long. Didn't finish it, but it was like about...
You got the gist of it in the first 25 pages.
The lengths and how complex to pull off something like this is. And it's really about that personality type, too.
Yeah. I don't feel any kind of way about it, as they say, because she's ripping off very wealthy people. Mm-hmm, so I have to say I don't care. Mm-hmm. They should have checked up on it. Mm-hmm. Like, before you give someone hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe look in to see who they are and actually, you know.
I tell you, the way that people, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, like, if you dress up or dress down, you're treated very differently. It really depends on where you walk in and how you walk in and present yourself and talk. And you can,
you know, do your due diligence before giving people money.
I know.
Like, really, because once, usually with these people, and I didn't read the article, but generally, even with high profile scam artists, once you start doing a little bit of digging, things start to, you may not catch them, but things start to look a little wonky. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Or they say they know people and then they do, and then you talk to those people and it's kind of like, you know, things kind of come out. Some other big scams this year. Apparently, someone has been impersonating Patrick Dempsey.
What?
From Grey's Anatomy and Can't Buy Me Love.
Are you kidding?
And collecting money for his Maine-based nonprofit. Or just as Patrick Dempsey. Who on earth is just giving someone money because they are Patrick Dempsey? Like, not this guy is just, you know, I'm Patrick Dempsey, give me a C note, or like,
what is it for?
Situation.
What was the claim? He just was I'm collecting money?
He's just collecting money. So Dempsey has a profit, nonprofit, so he was collecting money for that. But then he was also just being like, hey, I'm Patrick Dempsey. Give me some money.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. The Dine and Dasher, we talked about that. He's out there. And then also there was a really big scam at the beginning of the year with the Fyre Festival. I don't even remember this. It was Billy McFarland. He was behind the 2017 Fyre Festival disaster and it $24 million in losses. And then he tried to do it again, I guess. Started to put on So it was a fake festival. Nothing ever happened. People were rolling because it was one of these really, really expensive festivals. So again, it's America. If you rip off people who are wealthy, no one's really going to care.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's going to care. The Fyre Festival thing. Very interesting.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, these are the things that happen. One of my favorite... Do you have a favorite moment
from
2018? Anything come to mind or... I think that, listeners, you don't even know this, but, like, Jaquetta and I pulled off some podcasting feats this year.
Yes, we did.
We did. We worked tirelessly.
Feats of daring do.
Yeah. And that was one of my favorite things that we pulled off.
We pulled it together. Yeah. We got through 2018.
Yeah, because there was all kinds of scheduling and all kinds of things going on, and we did it.
We managed to pull it together, yeah.
And we congratulated ourselves throughout, like, we did it.
Yes, and we will continue to do so until this year draws to a close. I just felt that 2018 was just a bleak year. Mm-hmm. This is the first time, and, you know, anyone who's ever talked to me for even 5 minutes knows how cynical I am. Mm-hmm. This year has really just brought me to a new, like, I'm out cynical.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like everybody is cynical now. I have even stopped reading the news, and I just can't deal with it. There's just too much stuff going on. 2018 has been, as I said, truly toxic.
Yes, it has.
Toxic.
Choked.
People don't even want to be around each other anymore. Mm-hmm. You can feel it in the kind of subdued way. It's a wild but subdued. I don't know how to put those two things together in the way that we celebrate things now. So people get together, but there's always a tentativeness to it. Like when people, large gatherings, and no one knows what's going to happen. Everyone's angry at everybody. And you know the person standing next to you is probably not someone with whom you would agree on a lot of things. Like there's just a feeling in the air of disunity and, you know, just toxicity.
There's a lot of hatred and a lot of, like, me first and you're dumb. And
it's been a lot of, like, you know, it's 2018. If it hadn't been toxicity, the man of the year might have been, like, neo-Nazis who keep showing up and talking about how they're Nazis and thinking that people are going to be okay with it. And then are surprised when they get punched in the mouth.
That's the thing. Like, they feel like, I can say what I want, but you can't exist... You can't do what you want
and
to do.
And you can say what you want, but you can also get punched in the throat.
Yeah.
When I was at home, my mom told me that some neo-Nazi showed up at a kind of a, in Baltimore, at a place that was a traditional venue, kind of like the Apollo kind of venue. And now it's an older African-American crowd. They're very well-heeled. People are going to see jazz and to see, you know, revivals of things. So it's an older crowd. And some neo-Nazi broke in and started, you know, dropping N-bombs and saying all this stuff. And apparently the crowd was just like, okay, are you done? You can go now. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah. Okay. And you just announced
yes,
it.
Yes, and you just announced it. Now, please leave. What do you think? We're going to fight you? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, so that has been, that to me kind of encapsulates what this year has been about. I'm hoping in 2019 we're going to see, you know, some things a little bit different.
There'll be a
new year, new America.
Yeah. Yeah.
God. Let's try.
I know. Let's try. And,
you know. Let's try.
Let's just try.
I had something about the ball drop.
Oh, do you?
Do you have something as well?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about celebrating the good and celebrating saying goodbye to 2018 and ushering in a new year. So I have a couple of ways to celebrate, and this is specific to New York, but like I'm sure that your city or has something similar, mm-hmm. or you can find some alternative ways to celebrate.
Okay.
Because in Central Park, this is one of my favorite things, and I've done it three different years throughout my life.
You go to the ball drop?
I don't go to the ball drop. I go to...
Oh, my, because you must be insane. Like, that is the last place on Earth.
No, I've never been to Times Square for the ball drop.
It's too hard to get in. It's freezing. You can't pee.
You can't pee. You're there for, like, 14 hours standing in a spot. There's no excitement about that. I try to get through Times Square as quickly as possible. Why would I want to just park it there? But what I really love is the Midnight Run in Central Park with the New York Road Runners Club. The Road Runners Club is an organization that's dedicated to runners and running groups and things like that.
And if you, I was in the Road Runners one year. They do a lot of charity events. Mm-hmm. I did one race. I was kicked off by a polyp. We were fighting whatever that was. They also, if in New York City, if you join the Road Runners Club, you're almost guaranteed to get into the marathon.
Yes, it's hard. But they have this 4-mile run that kicks off.
It's
4 miles?
I didn't know it was 4. I thought it was 1 mile.
No, 4 miles. And there's a costume contest beforehand that starts at like 10:30, 11 o'clock. So people are dressed up in their costumes. They go through the contest. And then you line up.
Do they run in costume?
And people run in costume. You can run as, or just in your regular running clothes. But it's so exciting because at midnight, they have fireworks that shoot off, and then you start the race in the park. So you're running with fireworks all around you.
I hadn't even thought about that.
And they always started off with Living After Midnight.
Okay.
What's his name? What is the group? Living After Midnight.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
It escapes me, and I'm ashamed of myself because this is a great song.
Living After Midnight, okay.
Yes, so they start that off, and you run, and they have water stations with sparkling cider and water.
About how many people do it?
I'd say about 15,000.
Wow.
And it's awesome.
I had no idea.
Because even when you're running and you have to walk a little bit, you're so entertained by the costumes that are coming by.
Yeah, and plus everyone's
you.
Just having a good time.
It's definitely not a run for time, like to get your best time. Drunk people are cutting through Central Park going to their parties and they stumble upon you and
running. That must be fun.
And they cheer you on. They're like, oh my God. They'll run alongside you. It's an amazing experience.
That's one of the things I like about New York is when there's some event like that going on and you don't know about it and you just stumble upon it. So one time Greg and I were, I don't know what time of year it was, but we stumbled upon it. It was a Sikh celebration.
Oh, no kidding.
And they, apparently a part of their culture is about free food and feeding everybody. Mm-hmm. So we just walk up, all of a sudden all these people were like, would you like some food? And we were like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. They were feeding everybody. We had no idea. It was fun.
That's so cool.
So are you going to do the run this year?
I always do it. I look for the weather. And if it's a mild year.
You do it.
I try to do it,
So let's hope this year is a mild year.
Or they have silent reflections at a yoga studio, Jivamukti.
Jivamukti, okay, cool.
Yeah, and Manhattan opens its doors to locals looking for reflection over revelry.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 3-hour silent meditation reflection period.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and or you can be in a group chant commemorating the midnight and the arrival of the new year. That's a nice way.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good way to kick off the new year.
Mm-hmm.
So I was asking if you've ever seen the ball drop. I remember watching it once as a child and thinking, well, this is anticlimactic.
Yes.
But the question is, why do they have it?
Mm-hmm.
So it says, up until 1904 in New York City, the celebrations were not really that fun or riotous in a positive way. Like, people were low-key. They stayed at home. They went to the church, to hear the church bells ring. They had a mass. And then the New Year's Day tradition was of men greeting women in their parlors. Not a euphemism.
Oh. No, it's true. That's a New Year's tradition that I participate in, you have to have an unmarried man walk through your threshold.
Oh, that's right.
And wish you Happy New Year.
Again,
and that's
not a euphemism.
Yeah.
So it says Times Square wasn't even called Times Square until 1904, when the New York Times Square's owner, Adolf Ulk, decided to build a new headquarters on 42nd Street. Before that, it was Longacre Square. Not as exciting.
Yeah.
So it's Times Square after the New York Times. And then they renamed it, and he said he would celebrate it with a giant party.
Oh.
On New Year's Eve, 1905.
Okay.
So that kind of kicks it off. So the first Times Square New Year's Eve party, there was no ball. Instead, there was a bomb that they set off.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. On top of one Times Square for a few minutes, and they shot fireworks. The hot ashes rained down on the people from the explosion, and the police department said no. You got to find, like, a less dangerous way to do it. Mm-hmm. So they literally set off a bomb and fireworks, and it burned people.
Oh, God.
Down below. And then they said, that's it. That's, you got to do something else.
This isn't working
out.
Like,
you can't do it anymore.
In my mind, it worked out so much better, they said.
Yes, it seemed like a good idea, right? So they're saying before the 19th century, before time was standardized, so this is like during the Industrial Revolution too, most cities around the world didn't kept their own time based on the sun. So there was no, there wasn't like standardization everywhere. It was like it's this time here in Boston, it's this time here in New York, kind of whatever. And then most, but it was difficult because you needed to have telling time for navigation and other things like that. So they wanted to come up with a way to tell the time, and it was with a ball. So they would put the ball at the top so you could see what was going on, and then they would lower it as the time went by, and you could observe it for the official time.
I see.
So it was originally for navigational purposes, but then they made it for commemorative reasons.
Okay.
So that's the ball drop.
That's
fascinating. The ball drop literally is the marker for the time passing.
I love that.
And they dropped the ball at midnight. They're saying now, so on the stroke of midnight in 1906, a 700-pound, 5-foot ball covered with lights dropped from the top of the pole at the New York Times building to commemorate the new year. And while the ball has changed over the years, now it weighs 12,000 pounds.
Yeah, it's
crazy. And it's
lit
by 32,000 lights. It's still the same thing. It's the first drop that kicked off the tradition and it continues to this day. So in some places, they do drop other things. One town, they have a possum drop, which PETA was really upset about. It's in Brasstown, North Carolina. In 1990, the owner of the only gas station in town, which sells kitschy opossum products, got an idea. If New York could drop a ball on New Year's, why couldn't Brasstown drop an opossum? I'm, as someone from a rural area, I hate this kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, well, why do we have to, like, ape what someone else is doing somewhere else? Like, just do your own thing. So apparently, the possum has nothing to do with the town at all, but they just wanted something to drop. So they put a poor animal in a box and suspended it from the roof of the gas station at the stroke of midnight, and then they, like, lower and release it. So at first, 30 people came. It's becoming more and more popular. And, of course, PETA is concerned about this. I would be, too. It's a live animal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's illegal to do that, but they made it, they passed an ordinance in this dumb town. So that for that time with a possum, it's legal to put it in a box and then scare the shit out of it and lower it to the ground. But it is you cannot do things like that.
You can't. You know.
Like, it's something. And then in Maine, in Eastport, Maine, they want to do something a little weird, too. They drop a sardine, a big sardine, fake sardine.
Okay.
Not a real sardine.
Right.
A fake sardine and also a maple leaf. I think they're on the border. They're coming, the maple leaf for Canada. Because they're saying, yay, Canada. And then the sardines for, I guess that was something that was important to the town. Because they have a bay there. So I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah.
But like a live possum. Always have to do some dumb shit.
I love their, it's either in Miami or New Orleans that they drop a drag queen in a big shoe.
Oh, my God.
That's drag
awesome.
Queen comes down in a shoe.
Gigantic shoe?
Yeah,
big shoe. I like that.
Love it. Here's another, this is another cute thing I found. Like, for kids, you can get plastic champagne flutes and put milk in it and then put a cookie on top. And
oh,
that's your toast. I thought that was, like, a really cute, creative idea.
So do you have any plans for this year? Or have you not made plans yet?
I haven't made plans yet. I'm trying to just get through this.
I know, right?
Yeah.
that's where I am. People are like, what are you doing for New Year's? I'm like trying to make it to the day.
Yes. I always, again, I look for the temperature so I could go to Central Park or see what's going on. Or, you know what? Staying home.
I know.
With some sushi and a bottle of wine is always nice.
It's a pain in the, I mean, we're not going to be in New York this year. But the years that we have been in New York, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
To get out. Sometimes we've just literally stayed home, watched a movie, had some champagne.
Yeah.
Order some food early in the day so that we have it. Because having to go out and deal with the subway, because you having to deal with the subway anyway is bad. But on New Year's?
It's a difficult one. Everybody and everybody stinks.
Yeah.
They're really bad. They smell like not only being in the restaurant because you get the odors of the restaurant cooking.
But also just running about.
Well, they have usually garlic and booze on the coming out of them.
Yeah.
And then the restaurant smell.
Yeah.
And it's everybody.
And then it was packed.
Yeah.
That's on the side. So, regardless, Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. May your New Year be merry and bright and all good things for everybody.
Yeah, we'll see you in 2019. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
Well, then we're just pretty much
so screwed. Like, I'm not afraid of mice, but how many mice would have to be chasing you before you were like, this is not good? Like, so if one mice squeaked its way toward you, you'd be like, whatever. So now,
I would cry.
But you know what I mean?
You know me.
Okay, so imagine that you're not afraid of mice generally.
All right.
And you see one mouse coming at you. It's like, whatever. So now it's four mice coming at you.
Okay.
Whatever. How many mice is it before you're like, fuck, this is too many mice. They have a plan.
I
15,
this would
20.
Be awful. I didn't know. You know what?
What if they were in formation?
I didn't know that rats climb trees.
Well, what? Why not?
I know. But I never really thought they would go up. It never occurred to me that they
don't start doing research on it. They get very, very big. Very big. In any case.